Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi.
Hi. I'm Carrie.
I'm Lara, and this is
Sexy
Unique
Podcast. Talk Sicilian bitches. Another day,
another episode of Jersey.
I just needed to get right into this, but so Cedric Martinez, Lisa Vanderpump's former house guest, who had like a questionable background, he's been in the wake of like Villa Blanca closing, all the shit coming out, he has been, and then also Brandy returning to Housewives next week, he's like resurfaced.
Yeah, of course.
As
he is wont to do. What else does he have going on? Probably nothing.
So he wrote, he posted a video of him coming to Sir on that many seasons ago on Beverly Hills with Brandy as her date. And he posted this caption, or not with Brandy, someone else who looks like her. He wrote, I was such a fool. I should have said the truth right here and then. You invited me, Lisa, and the production. So she invited him to that party and then pretended to be upset and confronted him with Pandora.
Classic Lisa.
Hearing Ken saying the worst possible lies about me to cover his indiscretions. The gloves are coming off. When they go low, I will kick him in the nuts, he says. It is so hurtful. Luckily, you can see all the email confirming that what I have been saying was the truth. Lisa Vanderpump & Co., this time I will take a page from your book. From the reason of Max adoptions to what happened to Pandora, I will expose you. Hashtag truth is coming out. Hashtag disgusting people. Hashtag Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I will give you a taste of your own medicine. The difference? I have proof. From where your money comes from, tax evasions. Oh boy.
I was prepared
to forgive you. Ken, do you still frequent the red light district? That's how it ends.
Wow. But when did he post this?
6 days ago.
Has he said anything since then?
Oh, yeah. He posted a video of Vanderpump on Ellen.
We want great friends. Okay, so
I never stood a chance. Lisa, on the Ellen show, spreading lies like years ago. He's posting all these. Still at your old tricks, Lisa Vanderpump. He posted a photo about Villa Blanca closing. Still at your old tricks, Lisa Vanderpump, spinning your failure. However, all the people after you speaking the truth will be a bit harder to dismiss. I was with you at dinner table when you told me bum sex is disgusting. We were having dinner with Stevie Wonder Blind. He tagged Steve Wonder Blind. That's not his
Stevie Wonder. I love him being like, where's Stevie Wonder's Instagram account? Must be the first one that pops up. Steve Wonder Blind.
Whoa. Lisa called him the word, the N-word, because he was running late. Horrific. I remember everything, Lisa. Deny all you want. Your parents stopped talking to you. Your brother, too. You messed up Denise's marriage. Paul stopped talking to you. Friends for over 25 years. Shame on you. You traded fame for what? Oh, I forgot to add. She mentioned her close friend Martin for many years. It's true. He is the sweetest man. He sold her their mansion. And instead of paying his commission in full, Ken and Lisa gave him monthly payments because she didn't want him to spend his money not wisely. The point is, he can do whatever. Diana, who was her friend and became mine too, told me that she had to cut ties with me after the whole saga. Why? Because Lisa would buy a lot of stuff for them. Ken and Lisa control their so-called friends through money.
Diana, the manageress of Sir.
Yeah.
Oh my God. This is drama worth living for.
Sorry, I'm going to read more posts.
No, please tell me everything. I'm on the edge of my seat.
Of this woman who kind of looks like Camille Grammer.
Mm-hmm.
My beautiful friend Allie, who took me in after I left Ken and Lisa after living for 6 months. She is gorgeous inside and out. In fact, after a few margaritas, we snogged at the Abbey WeHo.
All right.
She was so hot, in fact, that Ken constantly hit in her behind Lisa's back. Hashtag cheater. Hashtag liar. Hashtag despicable.
Wow. Despicable.
Whoa,
tell me.
Should I keep going?
Yes, please.
Another prime example of what famous Hollywood bullshit. I never gave this interview. This should be legal. It's about some interview he gave. How would I know Adrian Malouf had money problems? How would I know Kyle Richards had an alleged alcohol problem? Mm-hmm. I left the show long before that. And he did something about Brandy.
What did you say about Brandy?
Many of you, if Brandy was my friend, the answer is no. This photo shoot were shot the first day I met her. After a lunch organized by production, however, Brandy changed the location, a very public location. Then all of a sudden, the pops appear everywhere. She had organized them. She kept asking me to touch her, hold her close. I was so embarrassed. Hashtag setup. Hashtag Brandy Glanville. Very smart of her. The idea was to get me back in the show. I got her in, but then she disappeared on me. Hashtag fake Hollywood relationship. Set up.
Okay. Well,
so he's become like a full. Cedric has become a full Lisa truther. Oh my God. He's like, he's.
But I want receipts. Like, I want the real tea about like tax evasion and all that. I don't care about like his hashtag setups.
Yeah.
I need like cold hard facts. He's probably getting threatened with lawsuits right now by Lisa and Ken. Or they like are sending him like a violent message.
Damn, his whole page is just.
Now I'm looking.
The vent pump. Wow. One of his pictures is with him and LaToya Jackson and Lisa. And he goes, I still can't believe how nice LaToya Jackson was.
She seems like a total gem.
He said Lisa forced him to wear Speedos and like lounge around their pool. Okay.
I'm sure.
Oh, he's sad. I think he's gone gray.
He's a little gaunt.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, Cedric Martinez, head to his page. It's a journey, so just be forewarned. But he's become a true Vanderpump truther.
I need him to spill all the beans.
Oh yeah,
I'm ready. My soul is ready.
Ready to go.
Ready and raring to go.
Ready to go.
You still visit the red light district?
But the money stuff, that's kind of crazy.
The money stuff is crazy. That's what I really want to know, is where does the money come from? Also, I believe his claim of like her not being close to her family.
I do too.
And I think that the only reason she's like pulled all that stuff at this moment, like when she talked about her mom and the nicest thing she could say about her mom is that her mom was in Mensa. I was like, bitch, you don't know your mom. She's in Mensa.
Wait, she said that?
Yeah, remember this season on Vanderpump Rules, like her mom passed away and then she was like, my mother and I, and the most like the photo that they showed of them was from like ages ago, like pre-plastic surgery Vando with her mom. And then she was like, my mother was an amazing woman. She was in Mensa.
Like the IQ thing?
Yeah. I was like, okay, and go on. But there is nothing else to say.
Say, come on, come again.
And what else? I'm listening.
Yes.
I'm waiting for you.
Oh. Oh. Whoa. Thank you. I think you forgot to say a few more things about your mom who just passed away, left this earthly Miss Mortal Coil. Oh. Yeah, her reaction, she's like, my mother died.
I'm devastated. Yes. Yeah.
We went to the funeral and turns out it wasn't the right day. So we have to go back. I was like, what?
Oh, yeah. She missed it? Yeah. I was like, this is fucking sketchy. I was like, you're a sketchball. Also, what's happening with that diarrhea lawsuit? Like, please, God, someone update me. I want Cedric to spill the beans on that, too.
No. Carnal, primal, like on all fours, just
the exorcism of Emily Rose that took place in mid dining room at Sir.
What is it? The orange chicken,
the orange fish with an orange sauce.
First mistake.
Judge would be like, you brought this on yourself. Suit dismissed. At Sir? Mm-mm. No, we all know. But like, I need updates.
Every judge has gotten, we come to find that every single judge in California has gotten screaming eagle diarrhea.
It's the orange sauce law, which is if you get sick after ordering fish with orange sauce at Sir, it is absolutely your fault. You will not win that lawsuit. It's orange sauce law, dear. You don't have a case.
Orange sauce. The orange sauce?
Orange sauce. The sauce. You. Did you, they order the ruffy with the orange sauce? You mean the sauce?
Orange. I ate the orange sauce.
Did they get the orange sauce?
The orange sauce.
So Villa Blanc's is closed now. Good. R.I.P. But also, like,
who will miss that?
Yeah, no one.
I ate there once. It was... I heard wind chimes.
It's just someone, like, tapped a... There's some shenanigans are going down next door.
I went there once and the seats were like metal and heavy and felt like the cafeteria at a retirement home.
Mm-hmm.
Like hospital. There were like hospital chairs.
Yeah. Last time I went there, all the rosé had gone bad and was like, it was like kombucha. Like it had gone fizzy and even one glass, like they were opening new bottles. Cause I was like, sorry, this rosé, like something has gone wrong. Like it's fizzy right now. They were like, oh my God, we're so sorry. We'll open a new bottle. They opened a new bottle like at the table and poured me a glass. And literally what plopped out of the rosé was like, you know, in the kombucha when it has like a mother in it, like that kind of snotty like mass, one of that plopped out. I was like, I think your whole rosé collection has...
Did they give you money off?
I think so. I was just like, ugh, what is happening? Like, how is this? How? It took me right to a place of how.
The food was not good.
And then every time I've walked by there since, it's been a ghost town. Like, literally no one
I went there ever yeah. there. I went there on a Sunday for lunch once, and there were no people inside, and they sat everyone outside together, like, bunched up together in, like, one corner. And I was just like, my shoulder blade was grazing someone else's shoulder blade. And I was just like, we don't need to be this close. That's why COVID spread.
It is COVID ground zero. They will actually, like, find out years from now that it was not in Shenzhen. It was in the corner of, like, Brighton and Cannon.
Yeah.
Or whatever street Villablanca is on.
Shenzhen in Wuhan.
Wuhan, yeah.
Shenzhen is from Cyprus.
Damn it. My reality is completely warped at this point in the game.
Well, we have a special slot.
Today's special, I know you'll want to hear it, is an orange ruffy with a special orange slot.
Tonight we have a fish from the sea. And we put an orange sauce on it. We drizzle it on the fish. And you just sort of watch it cascade down the fish, and you're supposed to eat it right then and there.
Eat it fast. Generally, you best eat. Tell them to eat it within 2 minutes.
Tell them to eat it.
At the table.
It'll turn.
It's a fast fish. Don't let it turn.
It might get away. Take a taxi or back all the way to the sea. But you have to get it. And within, I'll put a little watch down. You better eat it up and within 2 minutes or it's something terrible.
Something horrible will happen.
I want to bring out the little orange sauce and a little glass of wine. You just drizzle it on the fish. And 2 minutes later...
I need follow-up. The person who had that attack at Sir... is probably their immune system, like, they're probably in, like, COVID high risk family now because of that. I'll bet if you've eaten at Sir, you are automatically, like, in the high risk COVID group.
So us.
Yeah, so me.
I've eaten at Sir like 5 times.
Same. I've spent a fortune there. I've spent a fortune at Sir and Tom Tom.
And Pump.
I've eaten Lisa's satanic vegan pasta dish from Tom Tom. Did we talk about that dish that she made Ken for his birthday that she put on Instagram?
Oh, no. She posted like...
What the fuck was that?
Banana?
What? I'm looking it up. I thought that was a joke. Like, I thought Lisa was having a laugh on social media.
No, it was
just like a cheeky broad once again. And she said that she's making Ken's favorite.
It was traumatizing. It was
the grossest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Okay. She said, cooking my husband's favorite dinner for him after his surgery. He's fit and well. Wish me luck tonight. And then this is a photo of a bowl of what looks like cauliflower, corn, cabbage, onions, maybe one carrot, with bananas and apricot jam and cayenne powder. What is this? This, and she's made 5 bowls of it.
Yeah.
What is it? I've never heard of such
know.
A thing.
And she's like, it's time to I heal my husband with food.
That's actually foul. I've never, ever in my life. Is this some, like, sort of British food?
Yeah, readers, please, if you've ever had banana, apricot, onion,
cauliflower, carrot, Oh, I think there's a garbanzo bean or two. Like, it truly is the most disgusting. I've never in my life. Muhammad Hadid commented on this photo. He goes, "I would love to come and see him. Hope he is well. Miss you guys. Love you, my best friend."
Wow.
Wow.
I'm...
Someone commented, "Did you really, or you had it made?" with like a sideways cry laughing face. And Lisa said, "I made it myself. We will be posting the recipe very soon on @VeryVanderpump.
What's Very Vanderpump?
It's her blog with Pandora.
It's, oh God,
like, lifestyle brand that says recipes, lifestyle, and thoughts by Lisa and Pandora Vanderpump.
I want the long read about that.
Here's one of their thoughts. Just like a picture of a goblet. And the thought is, "Gorgeous vintage glassware can make any table look unique and beautiful."
Okay.
What a thought.
Great. Thoughts and prayers. My thought is that's...
Who needs
a shitty
it?
Thought.
Yeah, I hate that thought.
Pandora...
Pandora, tell us your thoughts.
Pandora, tell us what you see. Wow. Well, I hope Ken is recovering. I would love, going back to Cedric, I truly hope that things are revealed, that she will be revealed tonight. And I'm looking forward to seeing what comes of it. And I hope that Brandy is a good addition to the Housewives again.
I know. I'm kind of freaked out by her. Like, she darks me out. Her energy seems pretty intense.
Yeah, she's chaotic.
Yeah, she's chaotic. But I hope that we do get some light shed on the Denise of it all.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope Denise sticks around. I hope she doesn't leave.
She'll probably not come back.
I hate that.
Maybe not, though. Maybe not. Maybe she'll hang in there. I have to say really briefly, I was very pleased to see Kim and Kyle having fun together.
I know. When they laugh, my heart laughs.
They have such, when they're in a good place, their sister power is so strong.
Mm-hmm.
And they like get into trouble together.
Yeah. I love Kim going, "Floor it!"
And Kyle... almost in a weird way, when Kim actually like brings out the best part of Kyle when they're in a good place.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle's like always thinks that she's like helping Kim out, but I think Kim actually centers Kyle.
Yeah, they're like a yin yang.
They really are
twins. Yeah,
a yin yang.
Yin yang. They're the yin yang sisters.
They are.
They need each other. I was happy to see Kim again.
Anytime Kim gets some kind of like procedure done, it's really kind of mesmerizing to watch.
Mm-hmm.
It's like...
She goes, "I'm cold." She came out of her surgery.
Kyle. Kyle. And she goes, "Yeah, I'm right here, Kim." And she goes, "Hi." "Kyle, I had a dream. When I was under, you have to tell Maurice. You have to tell them Maurice. What's coming." Maurice.
I love that she calls him Maurice. Maurice.
I know.
Maurice. Well, I don't think Maurice is particularly attractive.
Ugh, what a gem. What ladies.
What ladies. Anyway, we should
we
speaking
get
of
into
the ladies, fuck into it.
The ladies of NJ.
It's the longest season ever.
It's truly a season that never ends, but thank God next week is in fact Gia's sad song.
Oh, and then we have Punta Cana.
and then Punta Cana. How many episodes are left? I truly am like every week I'm like, it must be, but then they haven't even gone to Punta Cana yet. So like,
I think Punta Cana is the end, and then there's like one episode when they get back.
Okay.
I think.
But lots is happening here that like laid the groundwork for a lot of people's futures.
Winter has come and we are in it.
It's a snowy winter. This is snowy winter wonderland.
We had to, yeah, but it's also really depressing.
Yeah, but when it was like super snowy, then it seemed cozy. But when it gets slush, I want to leave.
When there's golden amber sunlight and cold snowy everywhere, I get depressed.
Really? Yeah, I don't want sunshine and snow. I hate that combination together.
That
don't
really, ever. Really... No, that really, really upsets me. I feel like I'm just reminded of like being sad.
Yeah, I hate that combo.
As a teen, but like looking out through the window.
When it's like gray and it's fresh snow and it's gray all day with the snow, then I can be like living a cozy truth inside.
Oh, yeah, that's great. And at night when the sky is orange.
Yeah, at night, once the sun has gone down and then the sky is like orange and then you gear up for just a frosty night, that also feels great.
But or when you gear up for a night walk through the silent street, snowy streets.
And it crunches, crunch, crunch, crunch. Mm-hmm. And then maybe starts snowing again at night.
When it's sunny, sunny and snow reminds me of looking out through the window and seeing the sunlight. It's going, the sun going down at like 3 p.m. through the branches, the trees, and seeing like the skyline of Philadelphia in the distance and just being like, oh,
like I have the worst chills right now.
Like, yeah, it reminds me of. Yeah, just reminds me of like being stuck.
Like brightly sunny. Over snow when it's like kind of melting and you're just like, why? And it's like so bright, burns your retinas, and then the sun goes down at 4 and you're just like,
yeah, you just
nothing
feel
is
sick.
Cozy. Yeah, it's just disgusting. It's the worst.
Fuck.
So yeah,
well anyway, it's like that sunlight here, and Chris and Albie are heading over to their grandmother's old house, which has been converted into an office that they're going to share with Chris, Uncle Chris. He's calling it, it's like a little startup group, and they're calling it the New Star Group. And Caroline goes, historically, we're a family of entrepreneurs. I was like, all right.
Everything that their family has ever done sounds like a front, like a money laundering scheme. Mm-hmm. She's like, my father was into plastics.
He owned some kind of factory for plastics and refurbishing.
I was like, okay.
So Albie, Chris, their friend Gianluca, and their cousin named Chris, I think, head over to this house that's like in the middle of nowhere in like a field.
Yeah, like what? Like, why would you want an office there? I was like, where the hell
they
is
probably
house?
Own? They probably all own it, and it's like, or like there's some, because it's his mom's
they can
old house.
Write it so, off, yeah. If they're using it all for business, they can then write it off.
Yeah, and they sit down and they're coming up with new ideas.
I like just forming a company and being like, okay, now we got to figure out ideas for what we want to do with this company. Like literally, you have no ideas. Chris, I will say though, has great ideas. I was like on board with just about everything he was saying. I was like, yeah.
What were his ideas again?
He wanted to do a book about poop. Which I think is like, it would sell. Why not? Why not? Like,
I buy
it. Sure. Yeah. And then he had an idea about a breathalyzer that you attach to your phone, which I was like, yes, that's also a great idea. He's an ideas man. Albie was a naysayer.
Yeah. He's like, they're in like this kind of brain tank, think tank. And it's just them sitting at their desk in like a basement. Like, and they already have a logo printed out.
I'm really unclear.
Yeah.
And Carolyn goes, seems like a way to pay them.
Yeah.
Like, if Chris is putting the money into it, then I guess Albie and Chris get like a salary. So they're basically like on the payroll.
The family. Yeah. The
family payroll at this point. Meanwhile, Lauren has to like hustle and bustle her shit all over town to like sell her like weird makeup.
Yeah. And then meanwhile, Chris and Albie get to like live in their own apartment in Hoboken.
Yeah.
It's like, who are you working for?
Maybe they just don't include Lauren because they're like, oh, she's going to get married and then she's someone else's problem.
Yeah. The boys. It's all about the boys.
All about the boys, the entrepreneurs.
They're historically were a family of entrepreneurs.
All right. If you say right. so.
At one point, they find a way to make fun of Ashley.
Yeah. Poor Ashley. Has she not been through enough?
The butt of the joke at all times.
All times.
Then
we cut to Kathy and Rich, and they're getting ready to go out for Rich's birthday. And Kathy just looks so much like Tree in her like talking head. She kind of has a poof and like very intense eye makeup. And I was like, gah, she is Tree. And Tree is she.
Is.
Yeah.
She. I am she.
They are one.
I said I want Kathy to do my hair and makeup.
I know. When she's brushing Victoria's hair, it was like such like a mom brush the hair moment. And I wanted that.
Me too. They're getting ready to go to Rich's birthday party.
And
he's like, what's Joey going to wear? And she's like, oh, he's going to wear a vest. And he's like, look, that guy, Mr. Neighbor. And she goes, Mr. Rogers. And he goes, we find out that he grew up in Beirut.
Mm-hmm. He's from
he
Lebanon.
Didn't come to America till he was 8. So he said, I couldn't speak English. So the way I got by was being funny.
Hey.
He's like, I'm always the clown.
I love that.
Me too.
More and more find myself attracted to Rich Wakile. I think he's a total catch.
Mm-hmm.
He's the whole package.
He adores his wife.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
Yeah. He sticks up for her. I'll burn this fucking place down.
I'll burn it down. And they just have fun. That family just has fun.
Yeah. They're a really good family.
I'm pretty sure he's a Trumper, though.
Hate that.
So, don't like that. It's hard.
Joe, it's okay. I'll get over it someday. Joe and Melissa are driving to the birthday party, and Joe goes, it looks like you're not wearing a bra tonight. Outstanding. She just goes, ugh. I love her ugh energy was very real to me in this moment, where it's like, can you not be just like horned up out of your mind for 2 seconds,
I know,
where we can just have a normal conversation.
Just like Kat, Melissa once again thwarting predation by her husband.
Yeah, just like he's ready to rabbit fuck pounce at any moment. She can't even just be like, tell him a story about her day without him being like, your tits through your dress, outstanding. We're just like, can you not?
Shut up.
Shut the
Let
fuck up.
Let me drive. Up. I'm gonna crash my car into this bank of snow.
And then everyone ends up at this place called Aladdin.
I wanna go so bad.
Where is Aladdin? Do you think it's like still up and running?
Probably not. All these places are gone.
I know.
Not even
Remember
before
Chakra?
COVID. Yeah. They're all gone. Aladdin permanently closed.
Aladdin restaurant. Hackensack.
Hackensack. Hey, he's from Hackensack, not Hackenstown.
Wow, Aladdin is a real... Things pop off at Aladdin. It also seems like the median age of everyone at Aladdin is like 45.
I know. Oh my god, it's right by Teterboro Airport, so you can hop off your PJ and head right to Aladdin.
Right to Aladdin. Oh my god, for hookah and Middle Eastern fare.
Yeah. You know who's like a real middle like fan of this culture is Caroline.
Is she?
Yeah, she like loves. She always. I mean, she was talking about it last, but she remember she went to Jordan and.
Yeah, but then this at this party, all she could do.
Yeah, she was
pooper. Talk shit. Yeah, she was like, "I want Italian bread." She turned to.
Yeah,
Lauren,
that was annoying. Was oh, like, I guess I blacked that out. But she was definitely. When she walked in, she was like, "I like this vibe."
What did she say? She goes, "I like the vibe. I could have been in Syria." No, you couldn't like, have.
No,
I
don't honey. Think,
Caroline, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that this is not a Syrian vibe.
And then Chris Larita comes in with Jacqueline and he goes, "I want some rigatoni." And then Rich is like trolling them all.
I love like you can't not have Italian food for like one night if you're Italian.
Yeah.
I get that. You just want your manicot. Come on.
But I love Richie and Kathy walk in and guess who's waiting at the bar already with some belly dancers? Rosie. Kathy goes, "Rosie's here."
Rosie's they walk in and Rosie's her best life.
Rosie's macking it up with some hot like belly dancer.
I'm trying to just channel my inner Rosie more often.
It's so good.
It's so good. And then also who strolls in looking like literally a million bucks is Victoria. She's in a full fur.
She is.
Victoria's glam and she doesn't give a damn.
It's like a whole, it's all adults and then Victoria and Joseph who can handle their, hold their own against amidst all the adults.
Mm-hmm. They can have extended conversations and make eye contact with the adults in the room.
And then Caroline sees Joey and she's like, "Hey, little man." And she gives him a kiss. And I'm like, "Wait, I thought you didn't know this family."
Yeah, I Caroline, now everyone's come around on the Gorgas.
Yeah. No, but I'm like, she always acts like she doesn't know who. No. She hugs Joey Wakili, the younger son.
Oh.
But she acted like she didn't know who Kathy and Rich were.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm on to you.
The jig's up, Caroline.
The jig is up. I'm on
Everyone
to you.
Everyone goes to the party except for Tree and Joe, Judice.
They have somewhere to go with Gia.
Mm-hmm. A lie, I'm sure.
A lie. Total lie. And then the shenanigans start. They're eating everyone's just rounds and rounds of amazing food. They bring over hookah and everyone starts acting like they're high.
I know. I was like, you guys, this is not like.
It's not weed.
It's not weed. Also,
I think
like,
they all.
RIP hookah bars. Not that I ever went to them, but like those are not.
Right.
Those are a nunca after a place of COVID.
I know.
So, had a vintage feel.
But it was so weird. They were all like, you heard very quietly. Like, I don't, they, they seemed very provincial.
Yeah. Everyone
they were
was
like
tripping.
Kathy
balls.
And Rich were like, Kathy and Rich were just like puffing it easy. And Melissa goes, "I think it's weed." And then Joe was like, Joe was like fucked up.
He also is just like straight up probably downed like five glasses of wine in a row really fast.
Yeah. But he's like, "I want to smell your armpits." I was like, Joe.
Joe, fucking keep it in your pants for 2 seconds, please.
Yeah.
And then the belly dancers come out. Oh, no. Well, Melissa reveals that she had heart surgery at age 7, had to mm-hmm. have open heart surgery. And her mom fought tooth and nail to have them cut her open on her back instead of her chest.
Yeah, because she was a woman and she didn't want her to like.
She didn't
want to
have like a scar on her chest. It's pretty chill.
She goes, "Thank God for my mother.
May she rest in peace. My father, may he rest in peace."
Yeah. Then Jack, at one point. Joe Gorga goes and starts. Also, at one point, Kathy's watching everyone, like think that they're high, and she has this bewitching smirk on her face. Mm-hmm. She smiles, and I wrote Aphrodite. Just this witch, just watching everyone like get loose, and she's like,
My favorite Kathy moment is she like takes a deep inhale of the hookah and then just like blows smoke out slowly through her nostrils. And I was like, whoa, this ain't her first rodeo.
Oh, no. And then Joe Gorga makes his way to the dance floor. And I was like, this is hot.
Yeah. Him with like, of course, like he sees like anyone getting sexual, a belly dancer, and he has to go like immediately join the mix. And he tucks his shirt into like a little midriff bearing tie. And then he's just like dancing around. And I was like, okay, he always wins me over in the end because he is a hot little meatball.
And is like very unafraid to be like expressive about his sexual
needs and
like
desires. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then Rosie just starts throwing dollars everywhere.
I hope Rosie like took three women home this night and like had an orgy.
Yeah, me too. Rosie has that vibe.
Rosie like I feel like she could turn like a straight woman.
Yeah.
Just sheer confidence alone. Like, I'm attracted to Rosie.
I feel like Rosie could like bring home a whole bar.
Yeah.
Of like a lesbian bar. Like, just bring every single person home.
Mm-hmm. She brings home like a bachelorette party.
Yeah. And then at one point, Jacqueline stands at her seat and is just like undulating. She's just going like humping, air humping. And everyone starts screaming. And I was just like, yes, I love when Jacqueline heard the call.
Yeah. When she lets loose, hang on to your fucking hats. Because
I was her Vegas comes in and she just lets loose and was just like started getting really sexual and air humping.
She lets the Vegas take over.
There's just a shot of her standing at her table just going, like thrusting.
And she says again, she was like, I'm a whore. And then just like starts dancing again. She kind of like quietly says it. I love it.
And then Melissa goes, closet whore here. And I'm like, it's the best thing you could say to her.
Yeah. And I love like Melissa goes out on the dance floor and starts dancing like totally awkwardly. And Richie goes, Melissa can sing very well. Can't dance to save her ass. And then it just shows her like kind of like bopping around. I was like, I love that she like she can do it all. What can't she do? The one thing, dance.
Yeah. She's a triple threat. Except not dancing.
No dance. So just a double threat.
Just
a double threat. Now that I think about like having like a little Joe around, like I think there is maybe some merit in a guy telling you like how hot you are all the time.
Yeah. I know.
And just being like turned on by like if she obviously like makes a lot of effort to look hot 24/7. But yeah. I would love it if just a guy did that where it's like I didn't have to do anything. And then he was just like, he's like, see, you're not wearing makeup today. Your hair is in a greasy ponytail. Mm.
He's like, I want to smell your pits.
I'd be like, sniff away, honey. Ooh, get a big whiff.
Hey.
Hey.
And then Caroline, Chris, and Lauren are just not, of course, not dancing or doing anything. And then Lauren goes, we're so Italian. I was like, okay.
Not a fun Italian.
Yeah, not a fun one.
An old Italian stick in the mud.
Then we cut to Teresa's house with Jacqueline. They're getting ready to go to Lauren's Mally opening party.
They're pre-gaming and trying to outfit plan.
Teresa tries on this like, looks like the shimmer from Annihilation, her fake fur jacket. It's like this magenta.
Into it. Her Birdman fur. I love it.
It was great.
Where the fuck did she get that?
I don't know.
Tree is on the playa.
She was truly riding like a 12-foot tall tricycle on the playa in that jacket.
It really was. Made like out a top of like hat. at like sunrise when you're tripping acid and the sun's coming up, you hear like, and you look over and it's Tree on the playa on a unicycle.
Oh my God. Also RIP Burning Man.
I know. Well, it's fine.
Maybe not because of the mask.
Trying to let that one go.
Yeah.
No, I don't think Burning Man is happening this year.
No, it's not.
Okay. Yeah. I think that when will it be back? Who knows? But when it comes back, I hope to see Tree on the playa.
Tree's going to be on like a Zeppelin that only goes like 10 feet off the ground.
Yes.
Made out of like.
She has trumpet. A wand and she's just like touching everyone with her wand that's around
yeah.
her. I would say her Housewives on the playa is like really the only way that I want to go to Burning Man.
They should do a Housewives trip where they go to Burning Man.
Muhammad Hadid goes to Burning Man. Like, can't he just like gather up some housewives and take them on the PJ next time?
Yeah.
Like Kyle Richards on the playa is actually
having a panic attack
dream. Her just like, doing the splits.
But also, I can see Kyle like bringing Portia to Burning Man.
Yeah, she fully would bring Portia to Burning Man. Like, it is just like a family affair now. Like, it basically is just like Disneyland.
Yeah. They're Jacqueline's like, I can't really wear glamorous stuff like Teresa does. I was like, all right,
you could. I think you could. Yeah, you definitely could. But my question was, why are they eating salami and cheese and drinking wine in the bathroom?
I know.
I was like, this is an odd place to like hang
out. I know. Why aren't they downstairs?
Yeah.
So weird.
It was weird. Apparently, Ashley is going to move out in a few weeks. Is this
Teresa's like, get rid of her.
Does she move to Texas?
Yeah, I think she moves to Texas.
Father.
Mm. Yeah.
Love.
Love.
Love that for her. Yeah, Teresa's like, maybe you do just need space from each other. Like, send her the fuck away.
Ever try beating her?
Beat the shit out of her. Put her in a room, throw her around, punch her.
Knock her teeth out.
Knock her teeth out of her head.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all. Like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
We cut to the chateau. Where the Mally opening's happening. And I wrote, I heard a gay voice. You just hear there's some gay guy talking to Caroline and you never see him. Mm-hmm. And then Caroline goes, we're so proud of her. Yes, we're so proud of her.
The Mally opening is randomly like wildly packed.
It's so packed.
They literally went into like the brownstone like email contact list and just sent like a spam.
Oh, yeah.
Inviting like everyone that's ever set foot in the brownstone to come to this launch.
Yeah. The people that didn't come, like imagine if everyone who was actually invited showed up, it would have been like 1,000 people.
Yeah. Mally, also a reader wrote to me that Mally isn't an MLM, apparently.
Oh.
So.
It's just good for her.
Yeah, I guess it. I don't know what it is, but I know what it isn't, according to someone else, and that's it isn't an MLM.
Lauren, Caroline goes, she's subletting a little space in Chateau.
I'm really proud of her.
I'm really proud of her.
An entrepreneur.
They're all waiting.
Tree is full Momo on the playa at the Mally launch. Kim D is also there in the background.
Oh, I didn't even see her.
Yeah, I think it just like I saw the corner of her face at one point and I was like, it's Kim D. And then we never spoke or heard from her again. I think she was there.
Damn.
Yeah.
Teresa and Melissa are both wearing fur.
Yeah, Melissa has to say like kind of a little dig about Teresa's fur.
Yeah. I love that. Melissa, yeah. Melissa really, she twists the nail.
Mm-hmm. They can't like let each other off the hook.
No.
Tree and Joe are taking like paparazzi pics or like event photos. And then I realized that my dad has the same coat as Joe Giudice. Like a leather bomber jacket with like a big fur collar. It's his winter coat. And I was like, wow.
Ooh.
Ooh.
To brave the Oklahoma winters.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Ooh. My dad has that. Ooh.
They're waiting for Ashley to come.
Mm-hmm.
Ashley finally shows up, no coat, holding her arms, trudging through the parking lot. Like, looking so pissed in the freezing cold.
Ashley is truly my no-coat queen. You know when you're just, like, in your 20s and you're just like, I'm not gonna fucking wear a coat. Like, I'm not doing it. And you just, like, go out in the frigid, icy weather with just no coat like, on.
A club and you're just freezing.
I would do that all the time.
Yeah. People would be like, are we doing coats tonight? And then someone would be like, let's not do coats.
And you just
and like I'd be like, what? Wow, I'm invincible.
To freeze. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll never be sick.
No coats.
Long
is
gone are those
pre COVID. Yeah, long gone are those days. I wear like a coat in my own house.
I know.
Ooh.
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 Ashley, Jacqueline goes, where were you? To Ashley. And I was like,
Jacqueline.
But also
the bear.
Where was she?
I'm sure she was out smoking weed.
Yeah. She seemed a little fucked up.
She seemed kind of fucked up. Yeah. She was like acting really weird. She was like, couldn't find my keys. And then like kind of rattled off some like half-assed excuse. And
Lauren
then
was looking at her the way Someone who knows someone's fucked up is
yeah
regularly fucked shows up to things fucked up.
Mm-hmm. I remember like when I was like such a crazy pot smoking teen, going to public events like just stoned out of my mind. And yeah. Like, running into like my mom at like a football game or whatever, and like not even being able to make eye contact because I was so high. And
yeah.
Her being like, "Are you tired?" And then me having to be like, "Yes, I'm so tired."
I think the worst I ever had was in college once. I smoked with my two friends before a party, and then we went, and I was like, I was never a good weed smoker. And we were so high, and one of my friends was like a pro at it and like was just able to like live laugh love.
Mm-hmm.
And me and my friend were so high, and she and I were just standing against the wall watching the party, and then like I could feel myself wanting to tell her something, but I didn't want to say it because I didn't want to like ruin the vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally I turned to her and I was like, I was just watching this show today called Whale Wars. And they showed like a ship, a Japanese whaling ship, and it's like a slaughterhouse on the ocean. And my friend just looked at me and went, and she just walked off.
You had to get left behind for that.
Yeah, and then I went home.
Yeah, I for some
reason, you know, like when you're like so stoned and you're like,
you're too high.
You know you're gonna. But you know you need to say something that's like so weird, and you're like, don't say it.
And you're like, just have to live that truth and then get rejected for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I for some reason could smoke like insane amounts of weed pre boarding school. And like annihilate myself on weed and just be like so stoned and be like, whatever, man. But then once I got back, I could not do that again without having like a full blown like panic attack about being like high around people.
Yeah.
So weird. Anyways, Ashley's fucking stoned as shit. And we unveil the t-shirts that she designed.
Well, first Jacqueline goes to Caroline. She's like, was she supposed to do more than just design it? And then Caroline quietly goes, well, she was supposed to do the whole, you know, the process of getting the shit too, but we needed to get it yesterday. So we just did it, but she did the drawing. And then, and then Jacqueline goes, oh, good. Okay.
Like, why do you care at this point? All you're trying to do is like make her look bad on camera.
Yeah.
If you got your way, she's leaving. She's moving to Texas, which is decidedly not California. And like, why do you have to like humiliate her? Like, continue.
And I thought Caroline was actually trying to cover her a little.
Yeah. Caroline had her back. She was trying to.
Yeah. And then we see the drawing.
This drawing
is like, I guess of Lauren, but with highlights. And she's like looking back at it.
A beautiful cartoon version, like a sexy cartoon version of Lauren, like in a mirror, being like, mm-hmm.
With like rouge.
On a clown rouge.
Yeah.
The whole thing was just very misguided.
I will say she can draw.
She can draw. I think both of the designs that she had originally pitched Lauren were better than this design.
Yeah. It's weird.
It's really weird. Like, who would wear that? It also is like, it looks like it was drawn with marker, so it just doesn't look like it belongs on a shirt.
Yeah.
It looks like a caricature drawing that you would get on like a street corner in like
at like the boardwalk.
Yeah, like it's a boardwalk drawing. But maybe that's what Lauren wanted. She wanted a face. She got one.
And then Jacqueline's like, I'm so proud of you. Right?
Did she say that? I just kind of blinked out.
I think she did.
I'm so proud of you. Imagine being so proud of that. I guess when you have a kid, you're just like proud of anything they do. They like fart. Yeah. And you're like, oh my God.
I know. It's so true.
I'm so proud of you.
I'm so proud of you.
I'm so proud of you.
We cut to the supermarket the next day where Teresa is shopping with Adriana and Melania, and it is raucous. At one point, Melania is climbing on vegetables.
Melania like, is like, literally scaling the walls of the grocery store like Spider-Man.
Yeah. And Teresa just goes, Melania, no.
Melania, like, so chill. Stop. Can you stop?
She has her foot on vegetables that people are going to eat.
Yeah. She's like her shoes are all over them. She falls into like a display of salads at one point. Ass first into like salads, like a little dirty child.
Yeah.
Getting all their little dirty child germs all over your salad.
Teresa goes, we eat healthy in my house. We grew up without any ingredients. She goes, and that's just how I like to make my food. Real healthy.
This is all propaganda. But also, like, you can tell that Teresa never grocery shops. And then at one point, Melania's like, they're like in a frozen food aisle. Teresa's like kind of on the phone, like distracted. And Melania's trying to put like frozen dinners into the cart. Mm-hmm. And Teresa goes, no, no, we don't eat like that. Mommy cooks for you every night. And I wrote, Tree is faking it.
Lies.
This narrative that she's crafting. She literally like, goes to the grocery store and just like pushes a cart around while she's in a fur and like takes a phone call to like prop up the lie that she's like a chef.
She probably has people food shop for her, right?
Yeah, I'm sure.
And then at one point,
the Borgas say that their mom is the one that cooks everything.
Yeah. I know. That was some tea.
Mm-hmm.
So but later,
mom probably just shops and goes over to their house and cooks for them. If she watches the kids all the time, she's probably doing all the like kind of nannying jobs.
No. But at one point, Melania starts picking up. She starts picking tomatoes. And she sings a little song and she goes, pick the tomatoes up. Like, literally, I'm not kidding. Like, I didn't just make, like, she's actually.
No, I know. I was truly, like, rolling on the floor when Melania launched into her tomato tune.
Oh, the tomatoes.
Oh, here we are again in the land of the tomatoes. Mamma mia.
Pick the tomatoes. Oh, Melania, I taught you well. Gia's face appears in one of the tomatoes.
Melania, don't remember what I told you. You know what to do. Pick the wisest tomato, the happiest tomato, the tomato that will save our family from the great horror. Hurry.
And then Gia and Melania goes, she goes, oh, sister Gia. She goes, I miss. Because Melania drops her like soprano voice in this moment. Mm-hmm. She goes, oh, sister Gia. She goes, I miss a pomodoro. She goes, oh, no, pomodoro is back in old. He is back in old country.
Pomodoro went all the way back to the old country, but now you must search for the oracle in the tomato. The tomato will tell us our future. Please search high and low. Follow your heart, Melania. Follow your heart.
He goes, hey, I don't want to do this shit anymore.
Hey, I hate the grocery store.
I'm going to go wait outside and smoke, Ma.
Ma, you got a cigarette? Hey, anyone in here got a cig?
Pawning people for cigs.
There's like a shot where you can see like people beyond them just like staring at the spectacle that is like Teresa and her child in the grocery store, like literally climbing over everything.
Teresa has no control over her kids.
No, zero.
Yeah, it's
Melania
insane.
Doesn't listen. And also she does a thing where it's like, this would drive me crazy with children, where it's like, you're like, stop climbing all over everything. And then Melania, as she's climbing on something, goes, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'd be like, what the fuck are you, like, what actually are you talking about? Like, don't gaslight me. That's so inappropriate. Like, I would literally, I might have to spank.
The power of children. And then
the power of children.
Teresa calls Joe Gorga and invites him to her book signing at Mendham Books.
Oh my God, this call.
She calls him. She goes, hey, it's your sister. And he goes, yeah, I know. It's really sad.
Their whole like relationship and how it plays out in this episode is sad.
And like kind of weird.
It's really it's charged with something dark sided.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't love it. It's all just like, it's like when flirting goes wrong or something.
Yeah. But what isn't, what I do love is seeing Melissa and her sisters together. We cut to the Chateau Gorga and Melissa's producers come over to work on her single. And her and sisters, Kim and Lisa, came over to watch.
Make some magic.
They're so excited to meet the producers.
They're literally like they're like party time with these producers.
Yeah, they bring like, down some red wine.
We're going to get some wine. What do you want? Red? And then they like go upstairs, bring wine down, and then they proceed to just like party in the stew.
Yeah.
Also, Melissa's
recording. And the sisters know. The sisters know every line to the song too.
They're so supportive. They dance in unison with each other, fist bumping in the air, singing every line.
Are they twins?
Is it Lisa and Melissa?
Kim and Lisa.
Kim and Lisa.
With a Y.
Lisa.
Now, Lisa, Melissa takes her sweater off.
Didn't Philomena punch Lisa in the face?
Yeah, she decked her. Melissa takes her sweater off in the recording booth because she's really hot. At one point, I swear I heard her say, when she nails it at one point, I heard her say, "Keep shitting on me, bitch." She was talking about like tree or something.
Yeah, I think so. She's like in revenge mode. She's like fully like singing. She has so much at stake with this singing career. Like she's singing for her dead father's love.
Yeah.
Beyond the grave. She's singing to prove all her haters wrong. She's singing to like stick it to tree.
Yeah.
And like, and also she's just like for the sake of trying to be a singer. And I love that the producers are like, they're not letting her like slide by on any mediocre vocals.
No.
He goes, one take she did of her vocals, the producer stops her and he goes, "That was horrible."
Yeah, he goes, he also goes, "That just sounded crazy."
I love. But they get there finally. They finally get to a great place where she nails it. "Keep shitting on me, bitches."
"Keep shitting on me, bitch."
Whoa. Okay.
Then we cut to the Manzo brothers and Uncle Chris, and this is where we first hear about Blackwater, their big investment with a Canadian water company run by two Canadian sisters. It is the weirdest pairing.
I thought that they were related to the Wilkies because their last name is Wilkie.
But the Wakilis. Yeah. They're like, they come down and they meet them for lunch and they're like, Chris Larita's like, "You know, I run like a fabric company. I want this to be like my side thing." And then one of the sisters goes, "Well, that makes me worry, you know." She goes, "Because this is our main thing. We put everything into this. And I mean everything."
So they've sunk their entire life savings into making Blackwater, and their pitch for Blackwater, like they're all sitting down at this like dinner meeting and one of the sisters holds up the bottle and she goes, "It's Blackwater. All right." And that's the entire pitch of Blackwater.
She's like, "You know, we're a little worried that people aren't going to be into it because it is black, but it's just water, just charged with like minerals." And I was just like, what? I'm sorry. It looks like it's Canadian lake water.
Why on earth would you want to?
Why would anyone? I've sipped it before.
Did it taste like water?
It tasted like pond water.
Yeah, it tastes like it looks, right? Like it tastes like minerally, like charcoal water or something.
It's not like no one is going to buy it.
It's not a delicious hydration. Like it's not like you're just like dying to get hydrated, and then but you don't love the taste of water, so you really just always go for the black murky version of water.
It's like Loch Ness water.
Yeah,
it's peat.
Loch Ness shit water.
Yeah, and that's what they choose to as their first big investment together. That's what they choose. Like, I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Is it still for sale at places?
I think so. But literally just drink water. Just invest in water.
Yeah. Just make your own water brand.
Just make your own bottle.
If you're really looking to get into the water space, the bottled water space, Blackwater isn't it. That's not going to take you far.
I'm not going to hydrate with like a bottle of lake water.
No.
And then,
imagine buying like a 33-ounce like huge bottle of that and getting like so winded and hot during a workout that you just like chug like
Jesus
20 gulps of it. No thanks.
And then the sisters also both look like they're from a sitcom from the like late early 80s.
They don't match up with like the Blackwater aesthetic. Like I thought Albie and Chris like invented Blackwater. Because I was like, oh, it seems like something that like two dudes would think of as like a kind of gimmicky water. But it's these like two sweet Canadian ladies. Why?
Who are like kind of flirting with Chris and Albie.
Yeah, they're titillated by them for sure.
At one point she goes, they go, oh, you're the party types, are ya?
Oh, you like to party all night.
They all got
they're getting sexy. Yeah, they're getting fucked up.
He's like, oh, do you guys ever do ketamine?
Oh, you stay up all night, huh? They're like Allison Janney in Drop Dead Gorgeous.
Yeah. You guys want to walk me home?
She lives two trailers over.
Yeah, don't fall for it.
Don't fall for it. She lives two trailers over. Do you know who sells Blackwater? The vitamin shop.
Shoppy,
of course.
We see the Gorgas getting ready. They're planning on going to the Teresa's book signing that night. There's a big snowstorm coming. Joe Gorgas shows Melissa these like violent text messages he got from Judice, who got wind that Teresa had invited him. And he sent him a series of text messages, including one that says, "Use is so fake, you make me ill."
Use is so fake. And then he goes, I'll break your jaw and wire it shut. Like, what?
Yeah.
Joe Judice is wild.
Well, I mean, we'll see later.
And then he also says, he tells Melissa's like, Joe Judice is always saying the working man's a sucker. And I was like, well, there you go. That's his first problem. Yeah. Now where did he end up? He's deported.
Yeah. He's horrible.
He's horrible.
Horrid. So he's threatening his wife's brother if he goes to support her. Mm-hmm. So then we cut to Mendham Books, which I also looked up and it's closed.
God, what in New Jersey has survived? Nothing.
Teresa walks in. She goes, sorry I'm late. And there's like a crowd of people there. They're all like quietly going, like taking photos of her.
Also, it's like back in the age of the digital camera where you had like your little Sony digital and you're like, gotta get these pics.
She's like, hi. Yeah. And then when this like gay kid comes up.
But when she's trying to leave to like get there, she's talking to Joe Judice and she's like, how do I get there? Like, where? How do I? The book signs in his side. He goes, Tree, shut up. Shut the hell up. Get out of here. Like, he's like literally like verbally abusing her as she's like on her way out the door, teetering in her heels.
Making them money.
Yeah. Paying for everything that he lost.
So she shows up, she sits down, and this gay kid and his little sister come up to her and he's like, will you marry me? And he proposes, and then Teresa goes, it's bigger than my ring.
I gotta show this to my husband. Tell him you gotta do better.
Yeah. It's like, I wanna take a photo with my new husband and my new sister-in-law. Like, it's not natural to her.
No, nothing is natural. And she's like acting nice, but everyone that comes up to her, she's like, she doesn't know like how to make just like casual small talk with people.
And
she goes, are you brother or sister? I feel like she asked every single couple that came up to her. I went, are you brother or sister?
Because she wants, she's like, brother?
Brother? Brother, sister? Are you brother and sister? That's the only thing she knows how to like process. Literally, like an elderly couple could walk up to her, like husband and wife married for 50 years, and she'd be like, "Oh, are you brother and sister?"
Yeah. Or like a dad and his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
A mom and her son. Oh, brother and sister?
How about you guys? Brother, sister?
Kathy and Rich come in. And it's really sweet. And Kathy's like so excited.
Mm-hmm.
She's like giddy. And Teresa's couldn't be faker.
I thought Tree was touched.
Really?
It seemed like she was kind of like tearing up a little bit. The book signing A was over so fast. By 7:45, Tree is all by her lonesome, just like waiting. Well,
there's like a nor'easter coming.
Yeah, and I think Tree.
She was touched.
She was tearing up a little bit. I think Kathy bought copies of her own, which was sweet, and they made the effort, and like it was nice.
I think Teresa wanted to be cool, icy with them, but like couldn't because mm-hmm. she was moved.
She was. I mean, they were family.
Yeah.
And then, but Tree also was like giving them kind of a cold shoulder. She was like, "I'm just about to leave." And then they leave, and we see at 8:30, Tree's still there. So she's not about to go anywhere. She was just like telling them that to get them out of there,
yeah.
Make them feel like she's so busy. And that's when Joe and Melissa show up. Do you think she's like does like a rail of blow to just like try and get through the book signing? She like can't function normally.
Yeah, Joe and Melissa show up. Melissa has a little, like, beret on.
We need to talk about
that. A little that. Bucket hat. Bucket hat.
That beret, that cap of sorts, mm-hmm. was truly, like, Carrie Bradshaw turban hell.
Yeah.
With that huge flower on the front. It was, like, yeah, so was tight to her head.
Horrific. Joe comes in and Melissa goes, or Teresa goes, "Is the roads bad?" He goes, "Yeah, pissed. They're terrible." Melissa's like, we left and the roads were so bad. And Teresa's like, "Shut up, bitch."
She doesn't even acknowledge that Melissa's speaking to her.
She goes to the clerk who owns the store. She goes, "It's my brother, Joe." And then she goes, "And his wife, Melissa."
The clerk's like, "Loop me out. Leave me out of here. I heard about your brawl." I'm sure he knows all about the brawl.
Everyone in that area does.
Yeah, everyone knows that they're the family that brawled.
Joe Gorga's like, "Hey, your husband like threatened me."
Yeah.
And Teresa's like, Well,
first of all, he's like, buys a book. He's like, "I'll take 10, which was a nice move, but also like a power play. Then asks Tree to like sign his book, and she can't think of anything to sign. She's just like sitting there.
She goes, "To my brother Joe,
love you more than anything.
I love you anything more than anything in the world." I was like,
"Whoa, more than your kids? More than shopping? More?"
Yeah, she's like, money? She's like. She's just holding up a little Sharpie and going,
"To my brother, Joe, I love you more than anything in the world, and I miss my brother, Melissa."
I was like,
and then Joe forces Teresa to read what she wrote aloud to him and Melissa, which was also like a weird sexually charged request. I was like, "What? Read it. No, read it. Like, why don't you read it? No, read it aloud." And then I was like, "Ah!" I was like sinking down in my chair.
I went,
"Ah!" I called 911 and they go, "911, what's your emergency?" And I just held the phone up to the TV. And then Joe Gorga reveals that Joe Giudice has been threatening his livelihood over like
this person
BBM over WhatsApp.
Teresa's just kind of like, "I don't know."
But the big shocker of this revelation was that Joe Giudice is only 40 years old.
I know.
Why does he literally is the poster child for alcohol. Like, you need to stop drinking. I thought he was like at least, I thought he was like 48.
No, he's 40.
I was like, I know 40-year-olds. 40 is young. He's 9 years
older than me.
He's literally 4 years older than me at this point in the show. We could not be more different, Joe Giudice and I.
But Teresa also goes, it was kind of weird. She goes, I just wanted my brother to hug me. To really hug me. I was like,
it's why? So bizarre. This like game they play with each other. You can tell Melissa's just like over it. She's been dragged into this kind of like awkward. And also like nothing happened to make them be this awkward towards each other. It's just like they can't have peace for extended periods of time.
It's Joe Giudice.
Yeah, that is. It is.
Well, then we get back and we really see why it's Joe Giudice.
Joe Gorga looked damn hot, though.
He did.
Dodie Sal, damn hot.
It's the first time he's ever been in a bookstore.
In his life.
In his life.
What is this place?
What is it?
They sell these? It's just all of this. This book thing? At a store? It's just books.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, okay.
Wow.
I'll take 10.
Yeah, that was everything he did was to like own Teresa.
Yeah, it was really scary.
And then we get back to the Giudice House of Horrors, and Joe Giudice has been having a dinner party the whole time Teresa's been gone, and she goes, you know, I left at 4 p.m. and I got back 5 hours later, and my husband's had a lot of wine, and then she looks at the camera and goes, so that's great. And I was like, damn. He's blackout. Yeah.
He goes, hey, come here, let me take your jacket off, Maron! And then takes
Maron.
Maron, he's shit faced, and then Gia is trying to do like cute, like her cute, like let me show the adults my gymnastics moves, and then Joe body slams himself on the floor,
chips his tooth.
He roly polies himself over, flips himself, and then just slams his head on the floor and chips his tooth. Poor Gia is literally traumatized. Like,
she starts screaming.
Crying in horror. And I was like, this is truly like
alcoholism.
This is alcoholism. Like, that's not just like she's scared, like something weird happened. It's like, oh, my dad's really drunk and like hit his tooth out. And I'm terrified.
On our marble floor, he took over my like sacred space. That it's like my thing that empowers me, and like made it a joke. And not only that, he injured himself in front of everyone, and I'm terrified and it's chaotic.
Yeah.
That's an alcoholic home.
And everyone, for sure, talking about that in therapy, like to this day.
Oh, for sure.
That's a therapy moment.
She screams.
And not like a kid being dramatic scream. It was like truly a scream of like utter terror.
All of their friends are like awkwardly sitting there, but you can tell that they're kind of like they want to see what happens.
It feels like Caligula. Yeah, it was really weird. I was like, who are these people? They were like eyes wide shut strangers.
Teresa's pissed at Joe.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, did you like threaten my brother? And because I don't think she knew.
Well, and first Joe's like, I chipped my tooth off. And then they're in the bathroom and Tree goes, it looks like Tales from the Creeped.
The Creeped,
I thought she said.
No, she said Tales from the Creeped.
Tales from the Creeped. Looks like Tales from the Creeped. I love her. Oh,
at one point, she's talking about her brother, and Joe Giudice says, he goes, I gotta get you a horn. The Italian horn.
Yeah, he's obsessed with the Italian horn. He goes, were you wearing a horn or what? Did you have the horn on around you? I was like, oh my God. He like literally believes in the power of the horn.
The evil eye.
She, and then she says like, Joe thinks the family has the evil eye around them. Like, they're just plagued by spirit. Of course, Joe is just going to blame, like, supernatural elements instead of, like, himself.
Being a criminal.
Instead of being truly, like, a tax evader and, like, a committer of fraud. He's like, it must be the evil eye.
Must be the evil eye.
Gotta wear my horn.
And then he starts bitching about Joe Gorga and how, like, Melissa... or how Teresa helped him start his company. Like, I was like, what?
He's so resentful of Joe Gorga's success.
And his marriage. He tells everyone that Melissa's family is that white trash family from down the shore. That white trash family from down the shore.
Like, as though he's some sort of, like, prize.
Yeah. And then the real kicker. We find out that Joe Gorga did text. He brings out his phone to show the receipts of the messages. We find out that Joe Gorga in his phone book is faggot. He just says,
"Oh my
Joe
god,
Gorga's
I didn't even
name.
See. I didn't even realize that because I was just like thrown. I kind of wasn't paying attention, and then I heard him go, "Yeah, because he is a faggot," and I was like, ugh.
"Joe Gorga's name in Joe Giudice's is saved as literally faggot."
That's wild.
Like, that's his brother-in-law's name, and his phone is that.
That's awful.
And Teresa goes, Joe, like, she sees that, and she's like, that's not okay. And he goes, no offense to the faggots, but your brother is a faggot. And I wrote, I'm going to fucking kill you.
I love no offense to the faggots. You're like, none taken. None taken. Go off, queen.
Yeah.
Slay, bitch.
Slay, none taken, honey. You say it. Preach. I love. No offense to the faggots. What the fuck?
I was actually hearing this. I know.
Your children are there.
I was actually just like, I felt like actually nauseous watching this scene because it was. Because when he says it, it's like he like.
He means it in a hateful way.
Yeah. And I literally wrote, I'm going to fucking kill you.
Kill him.
I'm not actually, but the fact that he has his wife's brother's name in his phone book is unbelievable. It's so violent.
And in front of his children, like in front of those girls who he knows, like Gia loves her uncle. And like he's saying it in front of these strange people that are just sitting there with like devil's advocate grins on their faces.
Defending him. His one friend deciphers the text messages and he's like, Joe was just, Joe Giudice was just saying, like, he should always be supporting you, Tree. I was like, no, that's not what he said.
No.
He said he was going to break his jaw.
Yeah. And he's like calling, he's like threatening him, like physical violence and all because like Joe Gorga was like, don't be a stupid ass or something like that. And he was like, you called me a stupid ass. Just like
you are a stupid ass.
You are stupid. You're an idiot. You just threw yourself on the ground and broke a tooth out.
I cannot believe he has someone's name in his phone as faggot.
That's wild. I love it's great though knowing like what karma befalls him in the end.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Yeah. Like you. Like if I. I don't even think I could continued watching the show at the time because it was just like, whoa, this is dark. But like now in retrospect, it's like it all worked out.
I think this was like the moment Tree really truly knew she didn't love him anymore.
Yeah. Or just knew that it's like it really is either him or
her kids.
My kids or my brother. Like I can't have both. There's no room for all of these people.
This made me, I actually was in pain for Teresa. Like, I felt in this moment, she looked like she was on the verge of tears. And she looked deeply hurt by what he did to her brother.
Yeah, and then also and like, you see the, like, grand, like, the web of allegiances where he goes, don't you go against me with your brother, because you know where that's going to get you. Like, basically just saying to her, like, you can never take his side against me or like I'll make your life hell, which is like
yeah, what was
in
he...
a lose-lose situation.
It felt almost vaguely threatening with her with something.
Yeah. It just
like, you know what happens when you go against me. I was like, bitch, what?
Yeah. I wrote threat with an exclamation point.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's doing this in front of guests is like astounding.
That's abusive.
Because imagine what it's like when no one's there.
Yeah. And then Joe says that the where it all originated from, like his hatred of Joey Gorga, was because Joey was like friendly with Teresa's ex, like back when they were all like kids. And then tries to shame Teresa, being like, yeah, and then I broke up with her. I couldn't take it. I couldn't take the two of them. But then she came back to me. I didn't go back to her. Like trying to put her down or saying like he didn't want to be in this marriage. It's just like really gross behavior. And then he goes, and then my mother, her hair got pulled at the christening.
I was like, Philomena was thrown down, Joe.
Clocked someone in the face.
She asked for her hair to get pulled.
Yeah, your mom like tried to brawl and someone just like had to yank her off of like an innocent. And then these Jersey women who are inexplicably at the Judice's house, one of them gets, her hair got pulled. And that like cuts to, like the three like Jersey broads that are like bearing witness to this domestic dispute. And I was just like, who are these women?
I don't know who any of them were. There's this one guy who has no hair and he's like, he looks like a reptilian.
He is a reptilian overlord. And then Joe,
they were all like the devil's advocate demons.
They were true. I just rewatched Devil's Advocate again this weekend. It's one of my favorite movies of all time.
It's so good.
It's but like so the small good. Face. But they're like creepy faces when they're like kind of smile at you, and like the women are in the fitting room like trying on like beautiful clothes, and it's like,
yeah.
They are literally devil's advocate women. Her hair got pulled.
Her hair got pulled.
And it's like
this whole scene was just truly Fall of Rome.
Mm-hmm. The crumbling of the castle.
Mask of the Red Death.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
Joe hurling his body across a mat to just like headbutt into the floor. I'll never forget that. And Gia's scream of terror. And then Joe goes, he and I will fight to the end of time. About him and Joe Gorga. Great.
To the end of time.
All right. Well.
Till the end of time. It's like, what are you, like, timekeepers?
Yeah. Like, why do you have to fight till the end of time?
Time. With the time. Y.
Time.
Time.
Parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme.
We'll fight till the end of time.
We're fighting till the end of time, he and I. Marone. Yeah.
Marone. Well.
This saga of family drama never ends. Does it just go on and on like this for more and more seasons until Teresa and Joe finally go to jail?
Yeah.
That's a lot. Ron J asks a lot of its viewers. It asks
Teresa's on for two more seasons and then she goes to jail. So she's not in season six and then she comes back.
Like this is an emotionally you have to do emotional labor to watch Ron J.
Yeah, it's very hard for me to watch. The last 10 minutes of that episode, I was like,
when he slammed his own head on the floor, I was triggered. I was having like memories float in and out of like past alcoholism moments from like childhood, being like, no.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. It's not over yet. There's more to come.
More to come. Stay with us.
These people all go on vacation together after this?
Yeah.
Do heads roll or do they have a fun time?
Heads roll. There's a retreat the Gorgas go on in the next season where heads fucking roll.
Mm-hmm.
Physically. There's a brawl.
There's another brawl. Okay.
Yeah. But this, I think Puticana is just
tense.
I can't
help myself.
I just can't help myself.
Ha! Ha! This makes Staub look like a walk in the fucking park.
Ugh. No wonder she was scared.
I'd be terrified.
Well.
Well, stay tuned.
Stay safe.
Stay safe.
Get tested.
Get tested if you can. If you can.
Oh, I want to recommend I want to recommend the movie The Old Guard on Netflix with Charlize Theron.
Oh my god, is that good?
Incredible. It's so fun. It's like silly, but it's so fun. It's fucking just a great action movie.
Okay.
And she's like just like powerful energy. Like
I live
always
for Charlize.
And then Palm Springs with Andy Samberg.
That was actually good.
Cimolotti. It's pretty funny.
Okay.
I suggest it. I suggest it. I've been continuing to suggest I May Destroy You.
Mm-hmm. We all know. If you don't know by now, you'll find it eventually or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm watching Dexter, which I never watched.
Oh, I'd never watched it either.
I'm sucked in. I binged the whole first season this weekend. And then now I'm like in it. I'm like, get it. I'm truly, it's like I look forward to it. I'm like, I got to squeeze in a couple episodes of Dexter when I can. And it feels good to be like back in the clutches of something that I can just like binge.
Yeah, I'm watching The Walking Dead from the beginning. I'd never seen it. And because I watched Fear of the Walking Dead for like 3 or 4 seasons and then I got bad.
Yeah.
Not bad. Just like,
you were over it.
I was just over it. But Walking Dead is, it's good. Just fun. You just turn it on. Just watch it.
Yeah. Dexter's making me want to move to Miami. I'm like, maybe Miami's where it can all happen for me.
Not right now.
No. There's nowhere to go.
Let me just say, I think it's really fucking foolish that Disney World in Orlando has opened. And I shout out to anyone who has to work there right now.
Aren't people dying?
Yeah, I think people are like getting really sick. And I read some article about a transportation driver from at Universal Studios who died of it. It was an event. So like, just be really safe. And if you need to go to Disney World to feel like excitement right now, like just to feel like hope again, like during a pandemic, then I really want you to evaluate some things. That's just all I have to say.
Fuck right now wants to go to Disney World.
People. That's people, a lot
last,
of people.
That's truly the last place that I would want to go.
A lot of people.
That just makes no sense to me. It's like if everyone, it's like, I mean, I know. I was going to say it's like if you knew people got like crazy food poisoning from a restaurant, but you went there anyways. But that argument has no legs because I've dined at Sir multiple times.
Same. Just be heads up. If you really need to go to Disney World right now, like and love you, and light to you.
If you really need to go to Disney World and touch things that 2 million other people have touched before you and like have put all their shit on that day, just go touch all the doorknobs in your neighborhood, like, and rub your eyes. Like, that's basically the equivalent. Like, you actually don't have to spend the money to go to Disney World. You'll have you can have Mr. Toad's Wild Ride all on your own.
Also, that traumatizing video they released, like, welcome home, all wearing masks. Mm-hmm. Why? Just a lot of terrible things in the last week.
I don't trust it.
I don't either. Anyway, follow Lara at
Lars Marie.
At Helen Hunt.
At HelenHunt.com.
And follow me at
follow Carrie.
Naomi Watts on Instagram.
Mm-hmm. And take care of yourselves.
Bye bye.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row?
Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.